Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. Woo! You better put them hands together.
Put them together for the sunshine. That is right. After a week of pretty dreary mornings, it's a nice, bright, sunny sunrise here in Austin, Texas on this Thursday. So buck on to that. That's going to maintain throughout the day, it looks like. Partly sunny or mostly sunny. High of 80 today. Rain in the forecast for the weekend, but I don't think we're going to see, according to the weather guessers, Buck, the severe stuff we've seen over the course of Sunday through yesterday. The heavy stuff that's dropped just copious amounts of rain on South Texas, Central Texas, and into the Texas Gulf Coast and beyond. But that's a good thing. But there are forecasts for showers this weekend.
Right.
We'll talk to head coach David Pierce of the Texas baseball team at the bottom of the hour. Talk to him about how they're planning for potential rain issues, and they know they got to deal with them, but they'll get tonight's game. Tonight's game is the opener. We'll talk to Coach on game day. First game of the series with West Virginia is this evening with, I believe, Coach will confirm, Ty Madden on the mound tonight. The All-American candidate will get the ball, and you know, one of the things Coach Pierce said earlier in the week when he was on with Craig and Jeff was that they wanted to get Ty out there tonight so that he could be ready to go, because however this weekend goes, they're going to be in the Big 12 tournament starting next week. And if you get him out there tonight, he can be ready to go as your, you know, potentially game two starter in the Big 12 tournament, depending on who you're playing in the first game. But we'll talk to Coach Pierce about all those strategies, how they're looking at this weekend and then beyond, and you know, pitching rotations and all the fun that comes with that.
You know, I was thinking about the rings. We were talking about Mac and how he gets rings. They just, any bowl game they went to, they got a ring. You know, I did have a ring. I have a ring with where we shared the last Southwest Conference championship, I think, with like five teams. I've never worn that ring before.
Do you still have it? Did you lose it?
I have it. Oh, no. I have that. I have a couple of rings that I just don't wear. I've never wear a ring that I'm sharing a championship with a bunch of folks. That's the same thing. I think I shared a ring, a Big Ten championship at Illinois with Michigan, I believe. Never worn those rings before. I have them.
Yeah, we were.
I look at them, but sharing a championship or a bowl ring, I don't think so. I have bowl watches.
Yeah, you. We had a buck off for Mac Brown because Chris Bennett, our show historian, sent us a picture of a ring Mac Brown gave to his. We didn't know this had happened. This is 30 years old.
I didn't realize that.
Mac Brown had given a ring to his North Carolina team, a real nice ring.
Oh, it's a beauty.
For the Sun Bowl of 1994, in which North Carolina lost to you guys. Of course, Mac Brown subsequently came to Texas.
Right.
But yeah, they handed out a Sun Bowl ring just for being in the Sun Bowl.
It was a beauty, too.
It was a beauty.
Come on, Makovic. We won that.
And you were pointing out that you guys won the game and didn't get a ring for the Sun Bowl. Mac was just honoring his team for making it to the Sun Bowl.
To the Sun Bowl?
Well, let me just make this argument. Is it compelling or not? I don't know. That he's at North Carolina. It was not a football powerhouse by any stretch when he got there. And actually making a bowl game was kind of a big deal at the time at North Carolina.
I guess.
Making it to a bowl game.
But a ring is different. Well, not to Mac, obviously. A ring is different than getting your Sun Bowl watch. I got a Sun Bowl watch.
I'm sure North Carolina got that, too. Because aren't the watches given out by a sponsor of the Sun Bowl?
Correct. Yes, absolutely. That's
but
not
the ring would have been created by Mac Brown on the program.
And the program, yes.
Correct.
If you drop the Sun Bowl watch, forget it. It won't work after that.
Yes. Yes. All right. So taking your thoughts on the big topics of the morning, also your buck-ons and buck-offs brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company. Don't let it go another day. Let it go. Let somebody have it. Who needs a pat on the back? Who deserves a kick in the hindquarters? Who has earned that from you? We had a buck on last hour for the Big 12, putting its media days in July in a good spot, we think. Really good spot to get some national attention for the Big 12 conference, which it could use at this point. Also, you bucked off Matt Campbell, the Iowa State coach, for turning down $70 million from the NFL to coach the Detroit
Lions.
Yeah,
I mean, I grew up in a little hamlet in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, but, dude, I'm out of here for 70. I mean, really, I love small hamlets.
That's an eye-popping number that Matt Campbell, that just tells you how entrenched Matt Campbell is with that team and that program, and that's where his loyalties are. You know, Matt Campbell comes from a high school coaching family and then started his career at Mount Union in Ohio.
And that's the team that Texas has to beat. They've lost him 2 years in a row.
And been out-coached by them 2 years in a row. I still think Texas has a better roster. But Matt Campbell's game management.
But you don't
management.
Believe that today they have a better roster. They don't have their – Sam Ehlinger's not here. The quarterback who's been
I think Texas has plenty enough good players to beat Iowa
but
State.
But they don't have a better roster right now.
Of experienced players, no.
No.
But do they have enough good players to beat Iowa State even in Ames? I think they do. If they have a great game plan and they play well, I do. But Iowa State's really good. I mean, Iowa State's – they won, you know – They are coming back with everybody. Lost to Oklahoma by a touchdown in the Big 12 title game a year ago.
The only thing to hold them back is their quarterback, I believe, at Iowa State.
Yeah, because I'm still not sold on Brock Purdy. I think he's pretty good.
I don't think anybody is.
And you can force him into mistakes.
Yes, you can.
Pete Kwiatkowski and the defense get after it, because that's going to be one of the strengths of Texas. I think their front seven, all these linebackers they've added in the portal, plus their front four and their front three or front two, however they run the defense.
Yes.
And Pete Kwiatkowski's been really good at Washington over the years, forcing turnovers. And handling and you know building his defense to adapt to whatever offense they're going to deal with on a week to week basis, I really like that hire for Steve Sarkisian because when we talked to Steve the first time about hiring Coach PK, it was about watching him while he was in the Pac-12 and then over the years, you know, in the Pac-12 you'll see a Stanford and David Shaw in a power running game 1 week, then you're playing Mike Leach in Washington State, then you're playing USC, much like the Big 12, they're just a variety of offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Coach PK was really good at having different offenses for different schemes and different game plans. You know, Todd Orlando in Texas really just had, here's what we do. I thought Chris Ash did a better job in year one of adapting to what the Big 12's about. So we'll see. But I like the matchup. I mean, I like that Texas defense against an Iowa State offense that has a great running back in Breece Hall. I mean that's where Texas is right now. They got to prove they're better than Iowa State.
Yes.
Because right now Oklahoma is superior to Texas.
Yes.
But can that be a goal for Texas that, hey, we're gonna be better than Iowa State this year?
Yeah, and I think that's where you're shooting. We got to beat Iowa State.
Yeah, the Big 12 was announced their media day, so we were going through some of the top storylines there for the Big 12, including a lot of people, including now apparently Paul Feinbaum of the SEC Network and ESPN believing Oklahoma will be the preseason number one team.
That's why the first two games for the University of Texas, very important games and really good games, not – throw them out there, something on your schedule to get your season going. They were really good, tough games for them to find out how tough they can be early in the season. And games that they do matter, but they're not within your conference. When you're trying to build your program, you're thinking about your conference. You want to these games are, and I wouldn't call them preseason games because it will mean more to you in the development of your team. But they're tough games. So you got to win those games. You got to try to win those games. I don't know if they can win both of them, but I know this. There are good matchups for them to start with a new staff. Very good matchups.
I know what you're saying. I will just say, just for general fan, general Joe,
I know.
Joe Q fan out there,
thinking. I know
they're going to be disappointed if Texas isn't 3-0 going into Big 12 play. And I'll call them preseason games. They're pre-conference season games.
Yep.
I mean, they're three important games for Texas, but you're zeroing in. So we'll talk more about that. Let's get to also the headlines with a lead story that will lead to a question of, is this it for Greg Popovich? Let's get to your trending topics. Top Gun, Lawn and Equipment Rentals bring you the news and Big 12. Actually, check that. Let's start with the NBA, where the Memphis Grizzlies put an end to the San Antonio Spurs season last night with a 100-96 win in the play-in tournament in Memphis. Spurs trailed by as many as 21 in the first half. It was a bad first quarter that really got to the Spurs, but they did battle back. They took a 2-point lead with 7.5 to play, but came up short. And for the first time in their franchise's 45-year history, Spurs are going to miss the playoffs in consecutive seasons. Grizzlies now advance to face the Golden State Warriors to determine who will be the 8th seed in the Western Conference and face Utah in round one. That's because in the second game last night, good one, Lakers rallied from 13 down in L.A. to at half, 13 down at the half to take down the Warriors 103-100. LeBron James posted a triple-double. Also hit the go-ahead three-pointer with under a minute remaining to help the Lakers secure the 7th seed in the West. They're going to face Phoenix in round one beginning this weekend. Major League Baseball, the incredible run of no-hitters continued last night in Arlington. Yankees right-hander and former Ranger Corey Kluber, we hardly knew ya, tossed a no-no against his former team. 2-0 the final, struck out 9, walked 1. It's the second time this year the Rangers have been no-hit already. It's the 4th no-hitter in 15 days in Major League Baseball and the 6th already. And that does not include Madison Bumgarner's 7-inning no-no. We're not even to Memorial Day yet. In Oakland, the surging Astros moved within a half game of first place in the AL West. They beat the A's 8-1. Jose Altuve homered on the first pitch of the game. Yuli Gurriel drove in 4 to back Zach Greinke, who tossed 8 really solid innings. Astros have won 7 of 8. PGA Championship. It is Cameron Tringali sitting atop the early round leaderboard at the PGA Championship at Kiawah Island, South Carolina. He's 3 under par through 8 holes. Adam Long, Matt Jones, Ricky Fowler among a group at 2 under very, very early. We'll keep you posted throughout the morning and throughout the day and all weekend long on the PGA Championship, the second major of the golf season. Cameron Tringali atop of the leaderboard.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. It's time to get those spring projects done, Austin. Come to Top Gun this month to rent, buy, or repair the equipment you need to do it. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
This says, write it down. Take a picture. Texas will beat Anthony Michael Hall in Oklahoma this season. Who does the Anthony Michael Hall reference refer to?
I don't know.
Anthony Michael Hall was the actor of the 80s that was in like Johnny B. Goode, Breakfast Club.
Oh, I see. I get that.
But okay, write it down. I'll take a picture right now with my iPhone of that text.
Okay. Okay.
You're taking Texas to beat Oklahoma.
It's more like the guy from The Office. What's that dude's name? Michael what?
Scott.
Michael Scott.
That's more like Michael Scott.
That's Steve Carell.
That thought.
Well, hey, they lost in 4 overtimes a year ago.
And the year before that? Who was the champs the year before that?
I know who won the championship for 6 years in a row.
How many?
Oklahoma.
6?
Yeah. It says, y'all going to lose to Louisiana. They got legit players. No, we've talked about that. Texas could be lower ranked than Louisiana when that game happens.
It'll be a very good game.
Excellent game.
Texas should win that game.
Literally, when the preseason polls come out, Oklahoma could be number 1. Iowa State will almost certainly be in the top 6 or 7, I think. And then Louisiana, very well, based on everybody coming back and where they are, they could be ranked higher than Texas.
Yeah, they won't be afraid to come here and play. But Texas, with 100,000 rabid fans who haven't been in the stands for a while, should be a real home field advantage.
New South End Zone?
It should be a home field advantage.
No question.
I don't know when it's been a real home field advantage here, but that game with a new head coach and a new sense of urgency for the Texas fans, and them all showing up for that game, should be a true home field advantage for Texas in game number 1, I believe.
All right, so now I'm being told that it's Spencer Rattler is Johnny B. Goode. All right, let me look.
Looks okay. Like Johnny B. Goode.
I can see that. Anthony Michael Hall, he was also in 16 Candles.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, I see that. Anthony Michael Hall. Here's what I'll say about Spencer Rattler. I think he's good. I just not buying the idea that he's the number 1 pick in the NFL draft next season.
I just think he's too thin.
So slight. But I could be wrong. I would have not picked Baker Mayfield to be the first pick in the draft when he was.
I've seen Spencer get hit before, and I've seen him cough that thing up when he's been hit or grabbed by the arms and stuff. Another year, though. Think about this. Another year makes a big difference.
It does.
Physically.
Bulk up, no doubt.
Yes.
No question. So, Anthony Michael Hall, I like that for Oklahoma's Spencer Rattler. Question, Buck, we addressed it earlier, but bears repeating again here in the 8 o'clock hour. Is that the end? Was that the last game we'll see Greg Popovich coaching the Spurs on the Spurs bench? 25 years, 5 championships, back-to-back seasons, though, outside the playoffs. He's got Team USA this summer in the Olympics, and it kind of feels like, however that plays out, that this could might be a good time to hand the baton.
Yeah, I think he's put a lot. I mean, he's got a lot of wear and tear on him, 25 years, and that mullet and that gray beard. He's aging kind of weirdly, too. It's time to go to the wine country.
Weirdly, he just let his hair grow.
Hey, it's time to go to the wine country.
He can do that in the offseason anyhow. Now he's having longer off seasons. They used to play two extra months every year. Now they're not playing as long. He's got more time. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think he wants to be a part of a rebuilding deal there. And they're really rebuilding in San Antonio, I would believe.
Yeah, well, for sure. Ever since Duncan and Manu and Parker retired and Kawhi, negotiated his exit.
Ever since KY stuck it to him. Yeah,
stop
you're
with
right.
The KY.
You know what I'm saying? Ever since, it's been downhill since then.
Did you come up with that? KY stuck it to him.
It just rolls off the tip of my tongue. It's not.
Stop with that one, too.
You know what I mean? Come on.
Oh, it's brutal. We'll ask you, Spurs fans. This is it for Greg Popovich. I will say that was an admirable comeback last night because they were getting the doors blown off, and it looked like it was going to turn into that Indiana Charlotte game from the night before. They were down 37-17. They were terrible early, and Memphis couldn't miss. I do love watching Ja Morant play basketball, though, Zay. I mean, that guy, he is phenomenal. I mean, we're going to see a matchup tomorrow night of Steph Curry against Ja Morant. That's the best point guard in the league right now with versus a kid that I think is going to be the best point guard in the league maybe for the next decade.
Yeah, kids, if you want to be a point guard in the NBA, go watch Ja Morant. He throws left-handed passes with ease.
Yes.
And it's absolutely amazing. He threw one, like, cross-court across his body to the corner, and I rewinded it about three or four times because I couldn't figure out how he got the ball there. And, again, the Spurs, you know, they're just too small. Pop started four guards majority of the season this year. They had a lot of injuries in and out the lineup. DeMar DeRozan lost his father this year, so he was going back and forth to Los Angeles, back to San Antonio. So they had a lot going on, and, yeah, it doesn't seem like, you know, there's not really a reason for Pop to stick around at this point. You know, he's in my Mount Rushmore of NBA coaches. So,
sure.
Yeah, he needs to just ride off to the sunset.
Yeah, and what if, we'll always be asked about the KY situation, if Kawhi does stick and they rebuild around him.
Stick. Really? You went there? Oh. Wait, really?
You got me in on this. So, you started it.
No, I did not do that on purpose.
I can just do the innuendo if you can, you
know,
too.
I mean, really?
No, but literally, I mean, you know, that would have been the building block, and the thing the Spurs don't have is a superstar, and it's a superstars league, and they're hard to get. I mean, you either have
to
draft him, which the Spurs have been able to do, or you have to sign them, and the Spurs have not, you know, the LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard duo was supposed to be the next duo, and it obviously didn't go there. And so here we are. So maybe after 25 years and five championships, it could be the time. Also last night, we're going to talk to David Pierce here coming up in about 10 minutes, but the baseball, another no-hitter. We had a good debate in the 6 o'clock hour about the state of baseball and the strikeout numbers and the low batting averages we're seeing, you know, the combination of power pitching versus, you know, swinging for the fences and the lift the ball out of the ballpark kind of swing. The players are happy with a low batting average, but if they hit 20, 30, 40 home runs, they're going to be okay. It is leading to a pretty bad product, I believe, right now. But the other argument to that, Buck, is that, you know, there are some good teams out there. The Houston Astros lead all of baseball in team batting average at 271. There are still teams that can hit. And you should be noted that of the 6 no-hitters, it's come against 3 teams.
Right.
I mean, the Mariners have been blanked twice. The Mariners of a 198 team batting average.
Wow.
The Cleveland Indians, the Tribe, they've been a no-hit twice. They have the 213 team batting average. And now the Texas Rangers have been no-no twice by Joe Musgrove and now Corey Kluber. They of the robust team batting average that, where do they stand in team batting average? Texas Rangers.
They're the best of the three, aren't they?
236.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Rangers with a 236 team batting average right now are 14th. They're middle of the pack. That tells you where the state of hitting is in Major League Baseball now. And it's leading a lot of the old-timers to say, wait a second. Can we put the ball in play? Contact? Because it is the combination of high-velocity pitching, which they've never been so many in Major League Baseball, specialized pitching, where you're seeing a new arm pretty much every time through the lineup in a lot of cases. And then the shifts on defense, you know, to take away the hits and, you know, and people are just launch angle trying to swing for the fences, hit home runs. And it's going to lead to, gosh, we could have, on this pace, we're on our way to 15, 20 no-hitters this year.
Yeah, and you're on your way to record strikeouts, too.
Yes. Yes. Because strikeouts don't matter anymore.
No.
People, it used to be, I mean, strikeouts were bad. Now they're just part of the deal.
Well, baseball has a way of fixing things around, too. I mean, If you don't like too many home runs, they figure a way to do something with the ball. You know what I mean?
Well, that's because people are juicing the ball. You got to hit the ball first. It doesn't help if you swing and miss at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Throw them a golf ball. If you can't hit it, it's not, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it leads to a bad product, but there are some bad teams, and I think we've seen that, and there are some teams that really don't hit very well.
Yeah, and fans get mad when you start playing small ball. But you're trying to win the game, and you're trying to move runners, and you're trying not to strike out, but you do a little small ball here and there, then they get bored that way. So it's, no, we need to hit the long ball. We want to make the fans get excited about it. Well, the ball's too juiced up. Can't do that. We got to have more strikeouts. And now you're getting a bunch of strikeouts, and you're getting no hit.
Well, it's a perfect storm of the pitching's never been better and more high velocity, and the hitting's never been more built around hitting home runs, and that's how their players are trained. And so it's a really, really bad combination. And so you're not even trying to manufacture hits. Instead of trying to take advantage of the shift and just put the ball in play because they're all playing on the right side of the diamond and get on base, for crying out loud. Like, the job, get on base. They're trying to hit over the shift.
We need more slappies.
Yeah, you're right.
Need to have more slappies.
Well, Mickey
Rivers when you need him.
You need Mickey Rivers. You need guys that'll put that ball in play and not whiff. But you got lineups now that are built around guys that all strike out
right.
a lot.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Joey Gallo with the Rangers, guy's a feast or famine player. I mean, the Houston Astros with the Major League Baseball leading average, they got a guy, Kyle Tucker, that's kind of the same way. I mean, he'll hit the ball 10 miles. He's got 10 home runs, but he bats 230. I'd much rather have Alex Bregman or one of those guys up in a big spot. Alex bats 315, and he will still hit some home runs this year. Bregman will probably end up with 25 home runs. Tucker's going to hit 40 or 45, but he's going to bat 230. But that's where the Astros lineup is more balanced than most. They've got some slappies. They've got some
guys.
They
do. You're right.
That'll slap it around and put it in play.
Yeah,
and
then Bregman can be a slappy when he wants to be.
You know, Altuve is for sure. Miles Straw.
Right.
I mean, those guys will put the ball in play. Gurriel, I mean, they're contact players. Michael Brantley is an absolute contact player.
I wish I could say the Yankees had that, but they got a bunch of guys that are always swinging for the fence.
Yeah. Well, if the Astros get their pitching healthy, they're going to be all right as they're approaching first place in the West. But, yeah, three teams accounted for the six no-hitters.
Right.
That's not good. I mean, is it just three really bad hitting teams? And because the pitchers that are throwing them are like these nobody guys. I mean,
the hitting's not good.
Corey Kluber's been a very good pitcher in his days, but
yeah, when you're talking about the Rangers at 230, but the one group
198 Mariners.
That's terrible.
Lining up to pitch to the Mariners.
That means you got like six or seven guys in your lineup probably batting what, 150, 150.
Damn.
Yeah, man, that's bad.
It's really bad. 198 team batting average. Rough for the M's. There in that AL West. All right, so, hey, you know what? In the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get a chance for the first time this season to talk to our buddy Gene Watson of the LA Angels now. His thoughts on the state of baseball, also his thoughts on what Shohei Ohtani is doing in Major League Baseball, because it's pretty remarkable. But he had to leave the game last night. We'll get you details on that. But coming up next, a featured attraction each week on a Thursday, it is the head baseball coach at Texas, David Pierce, previewing the final weekend of the regular season. Coming next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Thursday. Sun's out. We'll take that. Been a bit. Good to see you. I guess it came out a little bit yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, I love this, man, because it helps me green and growing. I needed this.
Certainly we do. Hey, so a lot to do for the top of the hour. Salacious guys, when your blitz, Craig Way has his Craig Way report. We'll keep you up on the PGA Championship, which has teed off there at Kiawah Island, and the rest of the top stories of the day. But it is Thursday, and excited to do as we do each Thursday at this time, 8:30. Go to the Vaqueros hotline and talk to the head baseball coach at the University of Texas on game day. Longhorns in West Virginia tonight. David Pierce is with us. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic, Coach. How about this sun coming out this morning?
Oh, man, well needed, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
We always like the rain, but not at this time of the year, not a weekend where we got a big series coming in, so hopefully it holds off and we can stay on schedule, get a great crowd out, just have some fun with it.
Absolutely. And West Virginia this weekend, I want to get into the two cancellations and how that might have affected your ball club and the time off. But let me ask you a bigger picture question, because we've talked about the success of the athletic department this spring and all season, and now 12 Big 12 championships within the UT athletic department with the track and field over the weekend, Coach. I know you keep up with what's going on there, and you guys have a chance, if you could win the regular season, to bring a 13th conference championship, which would be a new conference record. Do you guys get a sense of that there's just a winning atmosphere on the 40 right now and in the department that you guys are a part of?
I just think it's a tribute to Chris, to our coaches, and to, of course, our great student athletes. But, you know, it's something that's been building, in my opinion. The pieces are coming together. It's been a little tough for everybody because we don't get to see each other. I literally see our staff, our team, and I'm not over at the main campus over at Nez much. It's pretty much at the stadium, but the buzz is right. I like the support that we have for each other. And then you look at the big picture with us, you know, we just try to stay away from that as much as possible. We're aware of it, but our players just need to go out and play and understand that they're going to play hard and give it everything they have in tonight's game and then move to the next game. But I think it's real exciting. I think it's how the University of Texas is supposed to be, and I think the expectations people understand, and we all embrace it. So we're in a position to have that opportunity, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, the other team, that's up to them, the way they play. That's up to TCU, how they handle their business. But you have to handle yours. And, Coach, everybody likes to, when it comes playoff time or tournament time or winning championships in your conference time, they like to start reaching that crescendo. And with your ball club, you guys have, I can't even, when people start talking back to what happened in Arlington, I always laugh at that. I'm like, dude, that was, why even bring that up? I don't even understand why you bring that up. You're the number two team in the nation, but that seems to always come up. Remember what happened to him in Arlington? I'm like, okay. It's like preseason stuff that goes on. But your guys are getting towards that crescendo of almost where you want to be. I know it's a game at a time, but the crescendo theory, I love that thought. And I love the fact that I think that's where you guys are headed.
Yeah, you know, we have a saying, the RTA, remember the Arlington, because, I mean, it was tough, but it's a good reminder of how this game can humble you as well. It's very different. You can go out and pitch really well, hit the ball well, and get beat in a 3-2 ball game just because it doesn't go your way. But you have to go out and apply pressure and create those plays for your team and for yourself. And so that's kind of what we've done along the way. We put our head down and used that as a motivator. But really, we've just tried to get better every single day. And I know it sounds kind of redundant that we talk about it every week, but that's kind of been the game plan, is just, can we improve and get better today as an individual within our groups and within our team?
And it certainly is shown now, up to number two in the RPI, and big opportunities this weekend with West Virginia tonight. Coach, the layoff will be talked about a lot, and obviously the debate, did it come at a good time and a good break to get through finals, but then the delay and the postponement on Tuesday night, you hadn't been on the field in a while. You know, what's your sense of that with your ball club? You do have a veteran team. You've talked about your best players being your hardest workers and your leaders. Any sense that there'll be a letdown based on not having a game in a while?
No, not at all. I think they're energized. They're excited. I think the break was perfect for us, but it did get a little lengthy because we missed, you know, we didn't finish last Tuesday, and then this past Tuesday we got rained out. So it is, we got a full inter squad in on, and that's one of the things that we dealt with Tuesday, is do we take a chance and try to bring Rice in here and get rained out? And if that happens, we don't get our arms, we don't get live at bats. We don't get to throw live innings. So we just had to make a decision, and we went out and played seven innings during the day before the rain came. And fortunately, we got everything accomplished that we needed. It just wasn't against an outside opponent. It was against each other. But, yeah, I think the break is awesome. I used to not like it. I would like it to be probably about 5 days instead of seven. But at the same time, when you look at a Ty Madden, a Tristan Stevens, Kobe, and then you've got Hanson coming, when those guys have started every single week since opening day, it's refreshing for their minds, their arms, their bodies, just to catch their breath and get ready for this back-end run. And I think it's a perfect time for us.
Yeah, and it's a great time for your leaders to step up, too. It really is, you know. Everything's not going to go 100% the way you want it to go, but this is where you find out where the real leaders come in when it comes crunch time. And this is sort of like crunch time, and you've got a lot of leaders, but your expectations of guys who will just continue to step up, I know you must feel confident about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt, but I'll tell you, there's every great team or every team that struggled that I've been a part of, we've went through adversity, mm-hmm. and consistently throughout the year. We're going to have some adversity this weekend. It's how we handle it, you know, whether we get behind in a game or we get a bad call against us or whatever the case is. That's just a part of it. And so you have to have a very tough-minded approach and really understand how important it is to play that one pitch at a time, that next pitch, inning at a time. You can't get involved in the big picture. But, yeah, there's toughness, and that toughness comes from great leadership. And these guys earn opportunity because they put in the work. You know, I guess there's a saying, preparation equals opportunity. But it's true. When you prepare yourself, you deserve opportunity. And if you don't prepare yourself, then you really don't deserve the opportunity that's in front of our team. And so I feel really confident about not only our older leaders, but our young leaders that just do it every single day. I mean, watching our inner squad Tuesday at this time of the year and watching them compete and just have fun being on the field playing the game was pretty impressive.
That leads right into the question I wanted to ask you, because we've talked to you every week and we appreciate the time, even on a game day, Coach. But you know, you talked about your recruiting when you're looking for ball players and building a roster, and sure, you're looking for talent, but you told us you look for athletes and you look for competitive athletes. And you know, when I watch your team this year, I think of the last time we saw you at TCU, that Friday night game and that atmosphere and everything that was there, and then to lose the heartbreaker on Saturday, but then to come back and get after it on Sunday and take the series. There's a real competitiveness that comes out in your team, player to player. But as you told us, that's something you guys look for when you're evaluating talent.
So you got to have it. I mean, there's great players, but they're not always a part of a great team. They don't always equal that. And I think when you can put a team together that has toughness, that has the will to win, the desire to play for each other, then their talent comes out as a group. And it's just in this day and age, when you see so many individuals and you look at our team and you understand why they play for the University of Texas, they play for each other. And it's just really refreshing when you go to the park every single day and watch these kids just grind. And yesterday they were in competition and ground balls, and Tulo was just pushing them. And they were just talking a little trash to each other and just getting after it. And it's how it's supposed to be. It had nothing to do with their personal agendas or, you know, a big picture for individuals. It was completely about team and about being in the moment and enjoying where we are right now. And it's refreshing. In recruiting, that's sometimes tough to find. So you have to dig a little bit. It's not always the best player. It's the best player that fits on our team. And that's kind of what we look for.
Well, it's showing up for sure in this team. And an opportunity, as you mentioned, Coach, you put yourself there, West Virginia tonight. I'm assuming Ty gets the ball in game one. I think I've seen that now announced. But Friday and Saturday, give us your scouting report on the Mountaineers and what your goals are as you go into this series.
Yeah, Ty will go against Jackson Wolf, and Jackson Wolf's one of the best left-handers in the league. It's kind of like Jordan Wicks from K-State. You know, he's a mid-90s guy with a good breaking ball. He's 6'7". He's going to hand it to you. I mean, he's a monster. They have also gotten healthy. They had some COVID issues, and then they had some health issues. They're coming off of a 5-game winning streak. So they're pretty confident right now. They haven't had a good start. They haven't had a good conference season. But this year, I don't know if you're aware, but we're taking all 9 teams into the Big 12 tournament for the simple fact that we didn't know what was going to happen with COVID. So as coaches, we voted that we would take the additional 9th team. So every team is going to go. And right now they're in a play-in game. And I think they're fighting to do everything possible to not play Tuesday where they don't have to have that additional game. So it's going to be real competitive. They're well coached. I think Mays does a great job with that team. They can run a little bit with a couple of guys. They have power arms. You can't take a break in the Big 12. And so we got our hands full, but I like our chances. I like our thought of going out there and just competing and playing as hard as we can and see what happens.
It's always a pleasure, Coach, and appreciate you again, especially on a game day. I know you got a lot to do in the game tonight, 6:30, with the battle of the pitchers. You mentioned Ty Madden and the lefty for West Virginia. Should be fun. Then 6:30 Friday, 2:30 on Saturday. Coach, we appreciate it. Thanks very much. Best of luck.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care. Hook 'em horns.
All right, there we go. David Pierce, good stuff, always great. And, yeah, you can tell he enjoys watching his ball club compete. They compete at everything, you know, ground balls. And you see that, it shows up on the field for
right,
sure.
A lot of leadership on that team. There's a lot of leaders. in that locker room for them. He's very fortunate to have that many guys. Even the young guys are leaders.
Yeah. Oh, we'll go back to that TCU series with those two freshmen on the mound in the eighth and ninth inning, you know, competing their tails off to get those final outs in a hostile environment. That tells you a lot about the mettle of that club, the mental strength of that club. And they get West Virginia tonight. All right, we'll come back. When we do, it'll be your turn. Let's bring this strong on a Thursday, Buck on, Buck off Thursday. The Blitz is next. 447-3776. Only as good as you make it. A little gossip there, too. First, Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Oh, man, Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light and the new Bud Light Seltzers. Those are only 100 calories, no sugar. They're great. They're a little gram of sugar. And those Bud Light Seltzers, perfect for the summertime, which it's going to feel like today, 80 and sunny in Austin, Texas. Ice-cold Bud Lights be flowing tonight at the ball game. Texas and West Virginia, 6:30. That's a good spot for an ice-cold Bud Light. Maybe you're going to be watching the PGA Championship, maybe playing some golf today. Bud Light is always the option. The world's favorite light beer. Makes the good times great, the great times unforgettable. And sounds like your golf round yesterday was forgettable.
It stunk.
Now, can I just say this as a golfer, and you're a golfer, and if you're not a golfer, we could probably find something to relate. If your mind's not into golf and you're not, maybe you weren't planning to play golf.
I was not.
I would advise not playing.
I'm going to do that next time. I don't like surprise golf.
So your buddies called you and said, hey, let's play. We got a tee time. Come on.
Yeah. And then
you didn't react well.
Well, I didn't react well. I went home, changed into golf stuff, and left my clubs right in the garage because they weren't in the car because I wasn't planning on playing. Then I got there. I got to use the rental set of clubs and thinking that'll be neat to hit some new different types of clubs. Well, that sucked. I can't putt as it is, but to use another putter, it was awful. It was just awful. And it wasn't that wet. It's just my mind wasn't into golf.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. And the fact that you didn't even check to make sure you had your golf clubs would have been evidence number one.
Yeah, that tells
one.
You right there.
That's a tough game when you're totally into it.
But that's an excuse. I just suck right now. My handicap is going up.
For the red tees.
No.
Come on, man. You're 65. Get up to the white.
No, I can't do that.
You're so prideful.
Am I Phil Mickelson? I'm not moving up there.
I think Phil Mickelson cares if he's now 50 and taking all those old dudes' money on the Champions Tour.
He's got bank,
too.
He
doesn't care.
Yeah.
You don't think those guys are looking at Phil going, dude, Phil, you got to have a bank account. Huge.
I love the kid who was over at the club. He goes, you're going to crush it with these. He looked at my old set. He must have seen my old set and said, man, you can't win with these, but you're going to crush it with this new set. I came back to him. He goes, hey, big old smile on his face. He goes, how'd you do? I said, why don't you just take the bags off that and put it inside, will you? That'll tell you how I did.
Rental clubs.
By the way, that just crushed your tip today, my friend.
Yeah. You should have said, dude, as soon as you showed up without your clubs, that should have been the indicator. I'm going home. That's it. I'm done.
The Texas Cheaters, they didn't care. They didn't feel sorry
because
they
were about to take your money.
Absolutely.
You were a ripe target.
I'm going to go buy me some Bitcoins today. Do something creative.
Hey, LeBron James last night, you know him? LeBron James.
Oh, the guy was whining about it. He got poked in the eye.
Yeah, he was crying
Come
last
on,
night.
Quit crying.
He fired up a three-pointer with under a minute to play that turned out to be the game winner. It was 100-100, and he hits the three. LeBron says he was seeing three rims. He was damn near blind. Damn near blind.
He was
wasn't because of the Bud Lights either. He saw three rims because he got poked in the eye and no one called.
Then the one time he said he got hit in the chin, this guy's elbow never came near his chin. He's showing like the old, like, hey, into my chin. No, LeBron, he didn't hit you in the chin. He's too good, though.
Space Jam's about to come out. My man's been acting.
He has been.
Oh, he's practicing. I see that, Zay.
He's still doing it.
He's trying to be like, who's the Daniel Day-Lewis? He wants to be in character all the time. Be acting. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, LeBron the villain. That's pretty clear. LeBron is the villain of these playoffs for a lot of people at this point. They don't like the Lakers. They certainly hate his politics and how his stances he's taken this year. He's become more of a villain than I can remember him. Now, certainly when he did the Heatles right and did taking my talents, he became a bit of a villain in Miami, but this one seems to be above that. And he beat Steph Curry. He's a good guy, right? Beat Steph Curry last night. And why didn't Steph Curry get the last shot?
I don't get it.
Because he was getting double-teamed the whole second
half.
Like
Zay said, call timeout, find a way to get Steph the ball. Don't let I don't know who that was. Dolph Lundgren took the shot. Who the hell was that took that last shot?
Dolph Lundgren.
Who was the dude who took the shot at the end? Right? It wasn't even Wiggins, right? Wasn't Steph? Wasn't Wiggins? Who was that dude?
It was a turnover. They tried to get it to Steph. It went off of Anthony Davis' shoulder into the backcourt. Time expired.
Yeah, and I think that's where, again, I think next year, and this is not salacious gossip, but when Klay Thompson comes back and they get Wiseman back, that's what happens. They double-team Steph Curry the whole second half, got the ball out of his hands, and there's no Klay.
Yeah, and you got a great defensive team that you're going against.
Then they had Klay. Then they had Durant. And that was fair back in the day. All right, so yeah, LeBron said he got poked in the eye, and he was blind. So now we have to give him credit because he made a game-winning three-pointer blind.
Yeah, hey, there was a minute left in the game. There was plenty of time.
It's official now.
And he put eye drops in his eyes, too. That was the one. When it came out with the eye drops, I was like, wow, drama. Wow.
Remember when he was playing in San Antonio back in the day and the air conditioner was out and he cramped up and they had to carry him off the floor when he's cramping?
He is getting to be a drama queen, isn't he?
Well, that was a while back. Tim Tebow, it's official. He has now signed a one-year contract with the Jacksonville Jaguars to begin his career as a tight end. Never played a tight end a day in his life. Hasn't worked out with a team since 2015, but he's ready to compete for a roster.
Oh, my
spot.
God. You didn't tell me the Storage Wars star, Jared Schultz, charged after a fight with Brandy, his girl? I think they broke up.
Where are you seeing that story?
Tell me you don't see Storage Wars. You don't watch that.
I'm looking. Where are you seeing that story?
Down below right there, right-hand corner. See it?
Storage Wars star, Jared. You watch this show, Storage Wars.
I do. There's money to be made in those old storages.
Yeah, I've been watching
that for a long time. As a matter of fact,
he charged it after a fight with Brandy, and that's some gossip too.
You ever see Brandy up close and personal?
No.
Whoa,
Brandy from Storage Wars?
Yeah, man.
Hot?
She's okay
for a storage person.
She wears paint on jeans or a spray on can.
Hey now.
Yeah.
Hey now. I have a storage issue problem that I've got to get help with coming up. I've got an issue.
Okay.
But let's go to your Blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
All right, here we go. First Blitzer, you're up.
Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, there's that really bad music that dude plays. Pablo, what's up?
Petoro, ¿qué pasó, Blanco?
Hey, man.
So this morning, I heard Slappy, I heard the KY, what? I heard Jeter's issues with Gondoloria. Petoro, you know what chatos are?
No.
Crabs.
Oh, God. No,
you say
man.
Crab, like rusty crab?
No, crabs. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, LeBron, with all this crime, Buck, I've been poked in both of my eyes. I ain't complaining. This is Stevie Wonder.
Oh, no. That will never be funny or acceptable.
That's not bad, though. Next Blitzer.
Does Trey Elling still believe that Stevie Wonder can see?
He does, because he saw the microphone drop and him reach out and grab it. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, an old Texas tradition, springtime, rain, humidity, and the mushrooms grow today when the sun comes out. E, enjoy your Budweiser today.
Thank you. Bud Light. I'm going to do the Bud Light. I'll do the Bud Heavy. Bud Light, it's too much for me.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I don't like that new Longhorn Band director. This is Red McCombs.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have a new... The Longhorn Band has made a change, by the way. Did you know that? The show band of the Southwest?
I did not. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, did you guys say that LeBron made that shot looking through his third eye?
Oh!
No. He saw three rims. I think that's what he said. Next Blitzer, you're up.
D-K-R. Luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Coach Stark, will you be prepared to seize the opportunity?
Seize the day. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Zay, I need you to mark this day. After the Olympics, Popovich will retire, and Becky Hammon will become the first female head basketball coach in the NBA.
Mark it down. Mark the tape, Zay. Okay, next Blitzer, you're up. Yes. No.
That's how we end the day. That was a good blitz in on that.
No.
Let's go.
Now, I know Becky Hammon's name will be mentioned when Greg Popovich is let go. Would Tim Duncan get a shot? No.
No. She's going to be the next head coach.
Are you reporting this?
I'm reporting this right now. She will be the next head coach.
Interesting.
Of the Spurs.
Yeah, by the way, there is a new band director at Texas because longtime director Scott Hanna is retiring in May.
Mm-hmm.
And they've hired Cliff Crooms, who is an alumnus of the Longhorn Band. Also, it's a doctorate from LSU.
Georgetown High School?
Yeah, Georgetown High School.
Wow.
San Antonio Douglas, MacArthur High School before that, and at LSU. He'll be the now director of the show band of the Southwest.
I can't wait till you tell me about this storage problem you're having.
Self-inflicted, my friend.
Mm.
A lot of dumbassery on my part on this one. I got to tell you that. It's B&E on the horn.